Morning, church. Have a Bible reading this morning from 2 Corinthians 3, 7 to 8. Now, if the ministry that brought death, which was engraved in letters of stone, came with glory, so that the Israelites could not look steadily at the face of Moses because of its glory, transitory though it was, will not the ministry of the Spirit be even more glorious? If the ministry that brought condemnation was glorious, how much more glorious is the ministry that brought righteousness? For what was glorious has no glory now in comparison with the surpassing glory. And if what was transitory came with glory, how much greater is the glory of that which lasts? Therefore, since we have such a hope, we are very bold. We are not like Moses, who had put a veil over his face to prevent the Israelites from seeing the end of what was passing away. But their minds were made dull. For to this day, the same veil remains when the old covenant is read. It has not been removed, because only in Christ is it taken away. Even to this day, when Moses is read, a veil covers their hearts. But whenever anyone turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Now the Lord is Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we all, who with unveiled faces contemplate the Lord's glory, are being transformed into his image with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit.
Imagine your father's got cancer and he's dying, he's 71 years of age, and you go in and you're spending some last hours with him. And just before the day, actually before he dies, he says to you, my name actually isn't Thomas. 50 years ago, I robbed a bank. And I stole $215,000, equivalent about $1.7 million in today's money. So that's not actually my name. My name is actually Ted Conrad. So imagine being that daughter where you had grown up with this father who you greatly respect, was an important person in your local community, never put himself forward, now you know, why he never wanted photos taken of him, why he never wanted any recognition. But this person who you loved and adored ended up not being the person you thought he was. It was absolutely shocking. And they had to, the daughter and the mother actually had to live with that for a little while before he died, recognising that. And eventually the police would come, the FBI would come and say, this is who your father was, and they already knew. I think it's a little bit like the story in Moses. Moses goes into the temple, or the place of God, and he meets God there, and he gets this radiance from his relationship with God. But he knows that the radiance will fade, and so he puts a veil over his face to hide the fading of the radiance. Because in a sense, he was hiding the reality that his closeness with God was fading away. And for many of us, we think about, we want other people to see us in the way that we want to portray ourselves. And one of the things we need to learn in Christianity is that we get to be who we really are in front of God and in front of other people. One of the things I was thinking about was, as we come up to Easter in about a month's time, what's the theme that I really wanted us to think about? And so I'm going to spend the next 4 or 5 weeks talking about the idea of freedom. What does freedom actually mean as followers of Jesus? Because I think sometimes we forget the incredible inheritance we have in our relationship with God to have a freedom that other people don't have. The Jewish people had a sense of freedom, but not the fullness of God's freedom. See, in this time in Exodus where it actually talks about Moses going and seeing the God and the radiance fading, this is the time where they were given the law. And the law was given with the idea that it would set them free. It wasn't meant to be a bind, it was meant to be a freeing. But the problem is, they've just come out of 400 years of captivity. And one of the things we know is that your background affects the way that you see everything else. And that if you've had 400 years of captivity, even the great words of God are seen through a particular framework. And so when they saw the law, they saw it through the framework of their experience in Egypt. And in Egypt, the idea was that when the Pharaoh died, that the heart of the Pharaoh would be taken and put on a scale, and it would weigh up against a feather on the other side. And only a Pharaoh who was a good man would get the counterbalance right. And so they had the sense of law being something that brought condemnation, and it was really only freeing if you were the best of the best of the best. And so they viewed the words of God as bondage rather than freedom. And it's really easy even today to understand the law as something about burdensome that's holding us down, that's dragging us back, rather than this idea of the freedom that is meant to give to us. So let's just look at what that Bible reading said. It says, now if the ministry that brought death, so that's the ministry of the law in the Old Testament, if that brought death, and then it goes on later on, will not the ministry of the Spirit be even more glorious? It says, even the ministry that brought death was glorious, won't this ministry we have under the Holy Spirit bring even more glory? And then it flows down and it's got this really important word, therefore, later on in the passage. And this is what the therefore, and this is where I'm going. Therefore, and it goes down to the bottom, now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Do we actually know freedom in God? I think Martin Luther King said it brilliantly, free at last, Almighty, we are free at last. When you look around the church and you look around our lives, are we actually experiencing a walking in freedom, or do we very easily get bound by the rules and the conditions of all the things we have to do? You know, do I have to go to church? Do I have to pray? Do I have to give? Do I have to whatever that list is, and whatever your tradition is, it might be different things. You know, when growing up as a Catholic, you had to go to communion every week. You know, if you didn't have communion every week, you were kind of in a dangerous situation. Well, are we living in the glorious freedom of what it means to live in the freedom of the Spirit? Now, the problem with the freedom of the Spirit is it's much more chaotic, much more uncontrollable. I was at a minister's thing last week, and there's a uniting minister up in Woollahra, and just down the road where I used to be the minister of a church up there. And we were talking, and beautiful woman, probably 55, beautiful woman, actress in the background, becoming a uniting church minister 8 years ago, swore like a trooper. Absolutely swore like a trooper. And I found that really, really confronting, really hard. I'm thinking, you know, you're a beautiful woman. Why do you have to have these words coming out of your mouth? And then she kind of explained her story later on. And she was talking about some of her background and how she still uses language to keep people away to see if they're going to be safe. If you can handle my bad language, you can handle other things about me and I'll let you come closer. And so even though I don't agree with the language, I agree with the intent of the language to see if the people she was talking to were able to get through that and to accept her as she was, as she is. In a sense, the spirit of freedom. I think God is less concerned about the language sometimes than we are. Now, that's not an excuse to go off and do whatever we like, but I think often we don't like the things that God has no concern about. God is about freedom. Not license, but freedom in God. So what does that mean? I was sitting down, you've got to have an acronym, don't you? So I thought, how do you make freedom into an acronym? And I was just thinking through the Bible, and I was thinking, here are some of the things that I think freedom means. It means being free from condemnation. You know what? In your darkest of days, in the worst moments, there is no condemnation in Jesus. Now, Jesus might say, like the woman at the well, go and sin no more. But he wasn't saying, I condemn you. He was saying, I want you to experience a freedom that you've never had before. You are not condemned, therefore you can go and sin no more. You get to be the real you. Now, this is I think, where the difficulty is sometimes our real you, our real me, needs to be modified. I need to learn some different ways of doing things, you know. If I'm swearing, maybe I need to learn not to swear. Or my bad habits, maybe I need to get rid of some of my bad habits. But I get to be me and accepted before I've dealt with any of that stuff, not after I've dealt with that stuff. I read something on Facebook this week, and the guy was saying something about, you know, when he comes to church late, everybody turns around and looks at him. But when he turns up in an AA meeting late, they all turn around and hug him because they knew that he just might not have made it there. They're glad he made it. And in a sense, we get to be the real us. Now, I don't think you can get to be the real us with everybody. There needs to be some boundaries about acceptability. But there should at least be some people, and at least God, who knows everything real about you. We get power, empowered to overcome. We've got the Spirit of God living in us, and God's intention for us is good. And so he equips us and empowers us to actually overcome. He gives us emotional peace. Think about that. In the midst of the storms. And I think probably all of us have had that experience. In the midst of the storm, suddenly we sense a peace that doesn't have an understanding from the human world. Things don't have to be right to be okay because God is in there with us. He gives us a desire to serve other people. I think that's an incredible freedom. And the research out about longevity and living a good life is people who serve others live longer and happier. So these Christian truths that we're now seeing in science is actually really good for us. It's good to think about others and serve others. But openness to change. I had a meeting earlier this week and I wasn't very good in the meeting. I said things I probably shouldn't have said. I went in with a bad attitude. I was pissed off even before I walked in, okay? And it didn't get any better. And I come out of that and I go, Pete, you need to change. You need to learn some skills. You know, need to learn. And in of myself, I would just think some language that I shouldn't say about them. But you know what? God changes my heart to say it's not them or it's not that. It's about, has God got the freedom to change my heart? You know, and I think that's very much a Christian thing, that God gives us this desire to become better because we want to honour God more, because we want to serve more. And we get to have our minds transformed. I mean, I think that's an incredible amount of freedom to have. All of that to say, which is actually my point of my sermon, is I think we need probably a little bit more freedom in our corporate worship. I'm not saying we've got to be like anybody else, but I'm wondering what increased freedom in our corporate worship looks like. And I don't think we, and I'm just going to chuck up a few things. And this is a challenge to me, as much as it is to anybody. I think freedom in corporate worship when we come before God, and Beth has said this to me a couple of times, we need to give more space to God to move. So maybe we need to spend more time just in some silence. We need to have new songs. One of the things that happens whenever God's Spirit is moving, there tends to be new songs are written. And so I'd love to hear Joe or Ben or Shimmer or some of the music team. I think God will start to lay on us new songs, because that's God's voice into our community. And maybe God's already laid new songs in your heart, and maybe you want to bring them. Maybe you've got some poetry that we could put to words. And I think that's a sign of the Spirit of God working in us. Maybe some of us need to be challenged about the way that we express ourselves, our posture. I'm not saying everybody has to put up their hands, not saying that at all. But maybe some of us feel awkward about doing it, which means we probably should. You know, it shouldn't be about whether we feel awkward or not. It should be about, what's my response to God? Do I need to kneel? Do I need to sit? Do I need to stand? Do I need to put my hands up, put my hands down? Whatever it is, about, do you, all of us, need to push a little bit about the way that we're posturing ourselves before God? Because it's not about each other. It's about, are we coming to God and giving Him worship? Worship literally means the posture before God. You know, and you see those photos sometimes where people are lying on their face, you know, on the ground praying. And you see even the Jews still do it today. And that was them prostrating themselves in worship before God. You know, does God want us dancing around the place and flags or whatever? You know, I'm not a flags guy, okay? Flags is not me. But if flags of you, then maybe that's an expression of worship that you need to be free to give. Because if we're going to accept each other as we really are, we need to allow people to explore what worship is. Maybe tongues, new tongues. I'm not necessarily saying spiritual tongues. Maybe you've got a different language that you grew up in and you want to praise God in your original language. You know, maybe we need to push some of that again. Maybe we need some more new leaders who help us in worship. One of Joe, fabulous music leader, you're not really a worship person as such in the sense that you link stuff. You want me to do that or somebody else. And that's, I love that. I love the fact that we all find our own space to do it in, but I sense that we need somebody who can lead us into deeper worship. Maybe it's somebody young like Shimmer. Maybe it's somebody else. But how do we get led into different forms of worship in a way that's beyond the singing? Or just new ideas? And I just wanted to come and say, as we think about freedom over the next 5 weeks, in the context of the freedom we have in God, is there a freedom we need to explore as a corporate worship body? And I don't have something I'm aiming for on this. I just felt like I should come and ask the question. And allowing the Spirit of God, because one of the things I know about us as a body is that we are really quite good at talking about what God is saying to us and then starting to do those things. So let me pray for us as we come and do our last song. And just, Lord, I do pray that you would help us to go into a deeper sense of freedom in you, both personally and corporately. Lord, I know that's not always a comfortable place to be, and I'm certainly not comfortable in some of that. But Lord, I pray that you would move by your Spirit, that you would help us to be the body of Christ that we need to be to reach the people that you have called us to reach. Lord, give us freedom, give us a sense of your peace and your joy. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand and sing our last song together.